Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate shopping for pants? You're not alone. Jack Archer's Jet Setter Tech Pants are basically the answer to every guy's closet struggles. With their customizable fit, wrinkle-free fabric sourced from Japan, and all-day comfort, these pants can take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Seriously, these might be the only pants you'll ever need. Style them with the Jet Setter Tee, Legacy button-down shirt, or the buttery Legacy Polo sweater, and you've got timeless staples to meet your everyday wardrobe needs. Jack Archer is just better. For a limited time, get 15% off using the code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your entire order.
Hey, I'm Greg Hill, and this is The Greg Hill Show, where Boston sports and real talk collide.
I'm Courtney Cox, along with Wiggy. We break down everything from the Patriots and Celtics to Sox, Bruins, and the stories that have the whole city talking.
Yo, you'll get bold takes, big guests, breaking news, and trust me, we ain't afraid to stir it up.
We've got every Boston sports angle covered.
Follow and listen to The Greg Hill Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes drop every weekday.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again! It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
All right, here we go. Play Tessie, episode 280. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. You know the drill. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe there as well and hit the thumbs up on all our videos. We really appreciate that. And then go follow us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. That's where you can find the latest graphics, the latest videos, play everything Play Tessie. We had pizza graphics on the feed today. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. Here with Sammy. Pat's here too. It is Gordo. And I'm not white as a ghost this time. Let's go. I'm not white.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. You're less illuminated. You're not illuminated white. It was quite striking last episode. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Last episode when we started recording, if you didn't watch on YouTube, we started going and Gordo's face looked like a flashlight being pointed directly at the camera with the reflection. So yes, you look beautiful today, Gordo. Just gorgeous.
You look as tan as the day you found out about shadows down at Fort Myers this March. for anyone who doesn't know this story, it is the most blasphemous thing I've ever seen in my life. We were in the driveway of our Airbnb waiting for Rob to pick us up. And Gordo's like staring at the ground and he's doing like a sidestep. Pause, sidestep, pause. And he goes, it's cooler over here. I go, Gordo, that's called a shadow, you idiot. He goes, no, I don't think that's it.
You exaggerate the story more every single time you tell it. Just a little bit more every time. Then, yeah, no, but it was significantly colder in that shadow. It was weird. It was like way colder.
Sammy, confirm.
Yeah, I mean, he walked into the shade and acted like he had never felt shade before in his life. Granted, we were coming from freezing cold New England going to warm Florida, so we weren't used to it. It had been months since we felt the warmth, but I mean, come on. Sometimes watching Gordo experience life is incredible.
Well, the truth is, yeah, like an inordinate amount. An inordinate amount of my thoughts as a human are dedicated to baseball and the Red Sox. Like, Joe?
How many times do I tell you this, Gordo? I always go back to what Bradfo said during August or whatever. Your existence is bizarre. But you have the most bizarre existence I've ever seen out of anyone I ever know.
But to bring it full circle, I was technologically savvy enough to fix the webcam in spite of everything working against me. I had the people at Nessun sending me links to dimmable light bulbs, and I'm looking at the ceiling and I'm unscrewing these weird things that don't look like light bulbs, and I pull them down and it's like LED fixtures. I don't know. Definitely can't screw a light bulb in there. Then I'm trying to work with like my webcam settings. Turns out you can't adjust a webcam on a Chromebook. So I'm working on a different laptop to adjust webcam settings on there and then moving it back here. I was a mess of wires, but I was determined because I was like, I'm not going to go back on that podcast tomorrow. White as a ghost again. And now look at me. I'm beautiful. Look at this.
You're tan.
Look at this. It's real skin. People probably think I went on like a Hawaii adventure in 2 days.
A Hawaii adventure.
I've never been to Hawaii.
I've been. It's beautiful.
You like
some
it?
People think that perhaps you went to the land down under.
Hell yeah. It's my walk-up song.
My trip to Hawaii was fun, but it was when I was in high school. So I went with my friend, and his mom and stepdad took us, and his mom had a few drinks and she went on this wild political rant and it just made everyone super uncomfortable. So that was my big takeaway from Hawaii.
Don't you love those weird meal conversations that go off the rails like that, but because you're out at a meal, you can't do anything about it?
Oh, you're trapped. Yeah, I was totally trapped. I had to listen to her. And she, I won't say what her beliefs are, what side of the aisle, but they're very, very far onto one side. And I was just like, wow, I don't know how to respond. I just want this conversation to end. You know when you just can't wait for the subject to change? I think I brought up the Celtics or something because they all like basketball. So I was like, hey, guys, we got this Jason Tatum guy. No, it was before that. I don't know. I said something to change the combo. I couldn't wait for it to be over.
I was at this lunch once with it was me and my dad and my grandparents and my dad at the time's girlfriend. And I guess they had went in the ocean earlier that day. And she was telling us about how like she basically tried to like convince this obese man to start like counting calories and weighing his food. And she was being like kind of crazy, like saying some pretty crazy things about like how fat this guy was. I was like,
so
it was so uncomfortable. We're all just like sitting there with our jaws on the floor.
Don't give unsolicited fitness advice.
It was weird.
That's very weird.
It was weird. So how about Lucas Giolito? I love the transitions.
The transition, yeah, like you learn about media school. Great job, Gordo.
I was just thinking, someone was asking me like, how do you describe your podcast? And I'm like, well, we really purely talk about baseball. And here we are like 6 minutes in. We haven't even gotten to baseball. So yes, Lucas Giolito. Gordo, you want to just explain what has gone on?
Yeah. So today was the deadline for teams, or if you're listening to it on Drop Day yesterday, was the day for the deadline for teams to offer a qualifying offer. It was just over $22 million for 1 year. If the player accepts it, they stay with that team for a 1 year, $22 million, and then they can hit free agency again next year and they can't get the qualifying offer again. If they decline the qualifying offer, then they become free agents. But depending on the team's cap situation, the team that signs that player will have to give up a draft pick And the team that loses that player, also depending on their cap situation, would get a draft pick if when that player signs elsewhere. It's like what happened last year. The Red Sox got a draft pick for letting Nick Pivetta walk to the Padres, and then they relinquished a draft pick to sign Alex Bregman in free agency. So they didn't offer that to Lucas Giolito. It was kind of a borderline call. My take originally was that they should have offered it to him because I thought he would have rejected it. I think it was right after we recorded our last podcast. And if it wasn't after our last podcast, it was after the last podcast in which we talked about Giolito. But later that night, something changed. Shane Bieber opted in to a one-year $16 million player option, but he had a $4 million buyout. So he basically opted in to stay with the Blue Jays for $12 million. Like, that's what he would have had to beat on the open market was $12 million to get more money. When he did that, I started thinking to myself, man, maybe this impending lockout is going to hold some teams back from spending and guys are going to have to take some discounts. Because if Shane Bieber is that afraid of the market, and then of course, the Red Sox declined their end of Giolito's $19 million mutual option, which also tipped their hand. But the Shane, Pat?
And then you also today had Pete Fairbanks' option be dropped by the Rays after having a 2.83 ERA in 61 innings. Just weird move so far.
Oh, and you got Kinley on the Braves, who they traded for midseason, posted a 0.72 ERA, $5.5 million option. They turn it down, and it's not even like they were in it at the trade deadline. So weird things are happening, and we're finally starting to see some of these projections. Like, I know Kylie McDaniel with the free agent projections today came out with a little bit more reasonable amounts that these guys, like, originally, Pete Alonso for 180, Bregman for 190. Bichette for 240. Like, we're seeing some crazy numbers. Sammy?
You called that early on Bregman, Gordo. That was a good call. I you tweeted it or something, or you said it on the show. You were saying all the projections are high. I think they're going to come down, especially on Bregman. So kudos to you. Ball knower.
Yeah, hell yeah. Not hell yeah for Bregman's sake, but hell yeah for my ball knower's sake. But yeah, I mean, that to put a bow on it, in the end, because of all of that, maybe that played a legitimate factor in why they didn't offer the qualifying offer to Lucas Giolito, because let's be honest, if Shane Bieber, and maybe there's something, another factor at play, maybe Shane Bieber's hurt or something, I don't know. But as of now, we don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So if Shane Bieber doesn't think he can beat 1 year, $12 million on the free agent market or significantly beat it, then how is Lucas Giolito going to think he's going to beat 1 year, $22 million with the qualifying offer attached? So in the end, with all of that coming together, he probably would have accepted the qualifying offer.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the lockout makes everything so convoluted. You could look at it in that, why would Giolito turn down that number? That's a high number. Gordo, you just had the comparables. You could also say, well, you have the lockout looming. He might not want to take a one-year deal and then have to sit out a year without a team. Maybe he wants a multi-year deal, even if it's at a lower AAV or a lower total figure. Who even knows? So there's so many things we don't know, which makes it very tough to podcast about, because there's just question marks everywhere and it could be this way, that way, like what I just explained. But the whole Giolito thing, my reaction to it, I made it clear. I wanted him back with the Red Sox. I wanted him back on the qualifying offer specifically, just because if he declined it, at least you get the pick. Plus, it's not much of a commitment. I do think it's important to have a guy like that, innings eater, veteran. That said, it's not the biggest deal in the world that he's not coming back. It gives the Red Sox more flexibility to allocate money elsewhere, which, not that they need that, but it's just more flexibility. And as we say, flexibility wins championships. Just kidding. But I do think that you will feel the loss of Lucas Giolito, but it does open up doors for other guys and other moves.
I have a question for you guys. I have an answer for this, and I feel like you guys are going to say my answer. Do you think that the Red Sox not offering the qualifying offer spells, because Sammy, you're talking as if it does. Do you think it spells the end of Lucas Giolito in Boston? Do you think there's any shot he comes back?
I think there's a shot, but if I were a betting man, I would say no. I don't think he's going to come back. The only way I could see him coming back is if they offer him like 2 years, $32 million. And he goes, okay, $16 million. A year, that's not great for who I am, but with everything going on, the lockout, my age, I guess I'll take it.
But the reason I think it's a no shot is because if they were willing to do 2 years, 32, then they would have opted into their portion of 1 year, 19, or even done 1 year, 22. So it's like a both sides thing. Like, I'm sure Giolito would love to come back. He had nothing but great things to say about
Boston. Well, it's a lower luxury tax hit if they do 16 to 32. Oh, hey, I mean, they just shorted Jaren Duran, like, what, 100K or whatever?
It's true. But they,
whatever it takes.
Why is it like this? An arbitration, like, the teams treat, like, every, like, $1,000 in arbitration, like, it's, oh, they got to keep every, but then everywhere else, it's like they're okay spending money. But arbitration,
I think they just think it adds up and one arbitration case affects the next. That would be my best guess. But that was,
it does, yeah.
People were so focused, like, oh, Jaren Duran, he got $7.7 million and he blah, 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 blah. The weirder part was the Red Sox, because that is such a small amount. Like, if it were 500K, half a million, all right, you know, that's something at least, but it was like 100K. Very weird.
Pat, do you think Gio's gone? Do you think this spells the end?
Yeah, because kind of the same point that you just made. To me, if they were open to having him back in any capacity, I think exercising their $19 million option is kind of a no-brainer. That being said, I said once they declined their option, there was no way they're giving him the QO. I just knew it. It did make sense. So from that perspective, and then you factor in he's probably going to want multiple years because obviously they didn't pick up the 1 year or extend him the QO. I don't see them wanting him for multiple years when they had two different options to give him 1 year. Even if they don't get a number two, I still think they pivot to something with a little bit higher floor and probably an equivalent ceiling, which sucks because, I mean, Giolito, it's not released yet, but on Baseball Isn't Boring said today that we were his second favorite podcast. Yeah, but it sucks because he was a great clubhouse guy. He was a great culture fit. Sammy alluded to it. Great veteran in that clubhouse for this young team. But yeah, I think the door's kind of closed on him, which stinks.
I try to think about, like, what financial structure is more desirable for the Red Sox that Giolito would accept. Because the Red Sox turned down multiple opportunities at a one-year commitment. So, like, obviously Giolito wouldn't accept a one-year $10 million deal if he's healthy. And the only other way I can think about it to get the AAV down is if they went, like, 3 years. But I don't think the Red Sox are doing 3 years, $30 million for a mid-rotation starter. So, like, yeah, this is why I'm proceeding right now, as if he's done in Boston. And, like, I didn't necessarily expect him to be back, but it sucks because this is a guy who had a really good year for the Red Sox this year. He's a really good pitcher. He's a really good guy. He was good to us. Pitched a lot of important games for the Red Sox. Pitched well in those games. Was a really good dude in the clubhouse. Important veteran presence. Like, this is not a guy who just walks out the door and you just snap your fingers and replace.
Yeah, totally agree. And that's why I was in favor of bringing him back. Question for you guys. What do you think he gets on the open market? Assuming the elbow's okay. Everything we talk about in here is with the assumption that his elbow's fine, which I think it is, because he was supposed to pitch in the second round of the playoffs if the Red Sox got there. So I don't think it's going to be
a big deal. He was out for October. They announced he was done for.
It's not what I heard. It's not what Lou was saying today.
Oh, Lou's got it wrong. They announced that he Cora said he wasn't going to pitch in October. He said it. I promise.
No. I believe you. I believe you. He said it. But, like,
The report from Cotillo today was that the elbow is getting better. Like, that was, I think that came out tonight.
Getting better to me doesn't signify good to go ALDS. I don't think he was pitching in the playoffs, period.
Yeah, I mean, George Springer was, like, playing on one leg. Guys do crazy things in the playoffs. He probably wasn't, but there was a chance he was going to pitch. Either way, it sounds like his elbow's okay. Everything we say in this conversation is under the assumption that he'll be good to go in 2026. What do you guys think he's going to get on the market?
I think he's going to end up getting a multi-year deal. I guess I'll go 3 years, 40-something. 3 years, low 40s.
That sounds about right. That's probably what I would say. Maybe 50. Nothing crazy.
Pat, what do you think?
So I'm trying to think. So last year, Frankie Montas got a 2-year, $34 million deal. I could see something in the realm of 2 years, 34. Or if he goes to, I don't want to say a lesser team, but maybe a team that just needs rotation arm for the foreseeable future, maybe something in the realm of like 3 for 50, 3 for 52. But I bet he goes with like a 1+1 or a 2 year straight up for like 16 to 18.
I was about to say an opt out for Giolito, considering how the season ended, kind of makes some sense. I know, like, sucks for this guy who's probably wanted to get some long term security with a new with a home for years now, especially after being traded by the White Sox and bouncing around to the Angels and the Guardians and then the Red Sox, and you get hurt and you come back and you pitch well, but now you're a free agent again. Like, that's a lot of movement, moving parts. But yeah, I mean, if you want to maximize your financial future, the probably the best way to do it is get a 2 year deal with a player opt out. Bet on yourself.
Throwing a team out there for Giolito, Texas to me is interesting for him. Like, that's a team that could use a back end starter for a year or two. They got some money to play with. That's where I think he lands. Just a hunch.
I was just about to say, where do we think he's going to go? I'm almost on the same page as you. Same state. I was going to say Astros, because that's a team that's very talented, has had a great track record with pitching, but probably doesn't want to be spending a ton of money. They also don't have like a great farm system right now, so they're not going to be trading for any of the big names. So I think Giolito to the Astros makes a lot of sense, but the Rangers too, Pat, that's a good one. I could see that as well.
I'll take the Cubs. It's a little bit risky because they may not want to spend, especially if Imanaga opts into the qualifying offer, because he got it today from the Cubs. But this is a guy who's spent a lot of his life, some of his best pitching years of his career were in the state of Chicago. That's a team that can win. Like, it could be a good landing spot for him. It's just a matter of if they want to spend, and they've shown some serious red flags in that regard. Pat?
City of Chicago. What? City of Chicago. You said his best years of his career were in the state of Chicago.
City of Chicago. Damn. State of Illinois. State of Iowa.
What? Oh, minor league. Ah.
Now I get Illinois and Iowa mixed up sometimes, just literally because of the minor league Cubs. That's the only reason.
I get Iowa and Idaho mixed up.
Oh yeah, all the I states. But what do you guys think the path moving for? Because like, when the Red Sox don't sign or don't at least offer Giolito the opportunity to come back on a 1 year deal, to me, what that says is they want to increase the ceiling. And I like you could, it's a fair assumption based off of the comments from Craig Breslow, both in the end of season presser and on podcasts. I know he went on 310 to Lefty. He had some good quotes on there about 3 weeks ago. It seems pretty obvious to me that they want to increase the ceiling of this rotation. Like, Giolito, good veteran arm. I think they probably see the arms at the back of the rotation, the whole staff of guys that they have that can slot into those roles as guys that might be able to provide you not what Giolito could do, but maybe something close to it. And if you want to increase your ceiling, like, you can trade for a guy or sign a guy that has a shot to be not necessarily a co-ace, but maybe a co-anchor for the rotation with Crochet. There's a lot of options, and Giolito, like, as good as he was this year, and he was that at times. I mean, Pat was pointing it out left and right on the show where we talked about him. The peripherals don't necessarily point to that again, and you know that's something the Red Sox value. So I do think that they're going to try to increase the ceiling. There's a million different avenues, a million different ways to do it. Like, there's so many options. So I can't even begin to talk about trying to predict a singular option. We can try, but
yeah, I mean, they better try to increase the ceiling. What other option is there? They have two starting pitchers who are solidified big leaguers at this time. It's Garrett Crochet, Brian Bayo. Now they don't have Giolito. The rest of the guys are either coming back from injuries, Sandoval, Cutter, or they're young guys who are, you know, talented, big upside, but unproven. Guys like, you know, Dobbins, Early, Toley, Harrison could go on. So yeah, I do think they're going to increase the ceiling. The issue is, I think you've also lowered the floor, because there is a chance, and I don't think it's likely, but there is a chance that these young guys don't work out or they take some time to stick as everyday big leaguers. So yes, I think they're going to raise the ceiling, or at least they're going to try, but the floor just got lowered too, which scares me a little.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed-sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed-sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's not a bad thought, Sammy. I mean, how can you deny it? Like I saw there's a lot of people in the Red Sox Twitter sphere, Red Sox fan base, whatever, that are excited to just kick Lucas Giolito to the curb because they see it as an opportunity to get that next stud starter. But the truth is, like, if you get an awesome number two, your floor kind of stays the same, right? Like right now your flow is lower. If you get a, like, you can't get a guy with a higher floor than Giolito if he's healthy.
I mean, if you sign Merrill Kelly, I think your floor is higher and your ceiling's higher. Well, your floor is higher. I think Giolito bouncing back would probably be better than whatever Merrill Kelly's going to give you. But a guy like that, I think he raises the floor. And I'm talking about the second guy they get. This is a completely different conversation than the Joe Ryan, Mackenzie Gore. In my head, I wanted them to bring back Giolito and then get a big boy like that. So it would be Crochet, let's say Joe Ryan, Bayo, Giolito, and then a rookie. Now it's probably going to be Crochet, big boy. I love that. Crochet, big boy, Bayo, and then two kind of, I guess you could call them wild cards to round out the rotation. 40% of your rotation is kind of like, we'll see.
I think they've tipped their hand, Sammy, that's what they're going to do. Because like otherwise, I think they're going to get the stud number two. But I think for starting pitching, outside of maybe like minor league spring training invite stuff, I don't see them at this point going and getting two starters.
Do you think Criswell affects that? Because they gave Criswell a big league contract.
So I was reading, Cotillo had some sourcing on this today. It's actually an interesting, people are going to freak out. Apparently, like the idea here is that they can DFA him later, but because he has a guaranteed $800,000 for next year, it makes it less likely that he's going to catch on somewhere else because he can't now sign a minor league deal. So they could, it makes it likely that the Red Sox can just outright him to AAA. So
it's a dirty business.
Yeah, it's weird. But I mean, he agreed to it. It gets
He's getting $800,000. I'm sure he's okay with that deal.
I would do it too. Never mind. I take it back.
Yeah.
It's frisky. It's a frisky maneuver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frisky is a good way to put it.
Gordo, I think I'm with you. I think they go and they get the number two. And then they kind of ride out Crochet number two, Bayo, and then like early Toli, early Sandoval, Toli, whatever.
Cutter.
Cutter. Yeah. Cutter's in there. The one big thing here, though, for me is how the back end looks after a potential trade for number two. Like, if you have to give up an early or you have to give up a Toli, at that point, do they then go to, you know, a Chris Bassett on the 1 year, 2 year deal? Like, is there room to add a five after a trade for a number two? It's to be seen. It sucks because we don't really have like a concrete answer on, you know, what the rotation kind of is going to shake out to be without the number two. But to me, that's the biggest deciding factor between adding just the number two and a two or like a four or five is what that package looks like if you do go the trade route for that number two pitcher.
I agree with that, Pat. If you trade even just one of these young promising starters in a deal for your number two, it does make the back of that rotation a little bit murky. But at the same time, like you're talking about Chris Bassett, I'm going to keep repeating this the entire offseason. But if they were going to sign Chris Bassett to say 2 years, 30 mil, wouldn't you rather opt into your portion of the Giolito 1 year, 19 mil? Like them turning down their side of the mutual option shows me that they're not going to go after the Walker Buehler contract this year. 1 year, $15 to $25 million. Like that to me, I don't think that deal's on the table. Like, I don't think they're going to do that this offseason.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think this is it. I think they're going to get one big starting pitcher and that's it. I don't think they're going to do a ton, which is not what I want, but that's just what I think they're going to do. I would rather the big starting pitcher and then a Giolito type, like I've said. But, you know, the more I think about it, think about the Blue Jays. Like, they had Gausman, Bieber, Treya Savage. They're super lucky that Treya Savage, you know, panned out like he did. Otherwise, they'd kind of be in big trouble. But they basically had three go-to guys. And then their fourth guy is a first ballot Hall of Famer who turns it on for October, even in his 40s, Max Scherzer. So if the Red Sox have, you can call it a big three, Crochet, the new addition, Bayo, and then you have a fourth option like Connelly Early, who, you know, it's not ideal to be starting him in a playoff game, even if he does have a year under his belt. He's not super experienced. You can stomach it. It's not like being the Dodgers, where they have a Cy Young, followed by 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 Shohei, followed by five more Cy Young winners. But it can get you to the dance. So it's not the worst thing. I guess my fear is just covering all those innings and how do these young guys fare down the stretch trying to log all those innings.
You go ahead, Pat.
Well, I was going to say really quick off of that is I think that plays really well into the depth of the Chris Wells, the Ubersteins, the Crawfords, the Fitzes, the Adopt. Like, you'll be able to give the young guys a break and give the other young guys, the depth guys, some spot starts to space out those games so they're not just taking on a huge chunk of the season. That being said, like, I'm not saying run like a 6-7 man rotation, but every 5-6 turns through, throw Cutter in there, Fitz in there, Dobbins in there, just to stretch them out a little bit. And like you said, it is a lot like the Blue Jays in the sense of you have three go-to horses, and then you have a good two or three guys who can hold their own in a playoff spot, hopefully.
Yeah, the thing is, two things. One, part of why I like Giolito is because he's a guy who, when fully healthy, and again, this is under the premise that he is healthy, he's a guy who can give you 150 to 200 innings, and he's done it multiple times in his career. And we still, with the Red Sox having that in tow in 2025, we still saw that depth, which we were talking about being good all year. We still saw that depth evaporate in a big way come October when they needed it most. Now you're going into 2026 and you don't have that horse in Lucas Giolito, which I thought they were going to have, but now they don't. and that same depth, I'm like, yes, I agree with you, Pat. They do have all those guys you named, I like. There's not a single guy that you mentioned that I like. I'll even, there's a few guys I really like in there. Still, this needs to be a, we are trying to win the World Series kind of year. And when I think of like, oh, give this guy a try, give that guy a try, and we're not talking about one spot, we're talking about two. Does that sound like a World Series team? I don't know.
Well, I'll give you my take, because in the end, the rotation you get on opening day isn't necessarily going to be the rotation that you have in September. And giving all of these guys that you have, I mean, Early, Cutter, Dobbins, Sandoval, Fitz, Harrison, like you've got a lot of guys that do deserve a chance to show what they can do, because these guys are all potential mid-rotation starters and maybe even better in a couple of cases. If your depth is compromised, or if none of these guys show that they can be the fourth man in a rotation come the playoffs, that's what the trade deadline's for. I know, Sammy, what you're going to say to this is the Brandon Gomes comment, where you build your team now so you don't have to pay 3-4x at the trade deadline. And I get that. But you've got so many options here of guys who not only have potential, but have shown that potential in the majors and deserve a chance to become staples in a big league rotation and playoff starters. And you had one of them who gave you a good start in the playoffs in a winner take all game in his, what was it, his fifth career start? So
yep, fifth.
These guys do deserve chances. I agree, Sammy, if the playoffs started in April, you wouldn't feel that good about it, but there's plenty of chance for these guys to grow into that. And if they don't, good thing the Red Sox still have a really good farm system, plenty of options to trade, and they would find a partner if they needed it. That's how I feel about it.
I'm just having flashbacks. This just sounds like the last four seasons of Red Sox baseball.
But
like,
they have something at the top now. We keep talking like it's a guarantee. They don't have it yet.
No. But here's the deal. I'm super confident that they get this number two starter, another fringe number one, you could even call it, because Craig Breslow did this last year. I'm also, like you alluded to, Gordo, not confident at all that he can upgrade the rotation in the middle of the season, because right now I think Craig Breslow is 1-for-5 with his trade deadline acquisitions. And the one guy that's been good is Steven Matz. So it's just so hard for me to be like, all right, it's only the April rotation. And I do agree, April rotation, March, April, it's not that important. But when you don't have faith in the guy who's driving the ship when it comes to trades, hard for me to just overlook it.
That's a fair point. We haven't seen Craig Breslow actually trade like a real package for a real dude at the deadline. Like, a lot of, like, every single one of the guys that they got in the last two deadlines was a guy that, like, yeah, like, maybe it could work and maybe it won't. And one of the maybe it could work, maybe it won't guys worked, and the rest didn't. I don't know if that's a Craig Breslow can't close a big deal at the deadline, or maybe it's he didn't think that either of the teams that he had, though they deserved additions, maybe he didn't think that it was a World Series or bust team, so he wasn't going to go super nuts into big rental additions. Whereas hopefully, you know, at the deadline next year, hopefully the team is in a position where it's, yes, this team can win the World Series, so go get some of the best stuff on the market to push you over the top. Whereas last year, maybe it wasn't like that, even though, I don't know. I mean, AL was about as winnable as possible, so maybe I'm giving him a little bit of a cop-out, because it was a bad deadline, and we talked about it at the time, too. It wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. Gotta hope. A lot of hoping. Kind of sick of that.
Were we at all surprised that Dustin May didn't get a qualifier? I'm kidding.
No, Pat, you nincompoop. He wasn't eligible. Obviously, they would have given it to him.
I know. If only. If only. If only.
Do you use that? Like, really? Like, do you actually use that insult? Nincompoop?
It's not a frequent word in my vocabulary, but it's in my bag.
A knucklehead McSpazitron. No, like, my thing is, Sammy, going back to what you said, it feels like years prior. I think it's better, because you have the frontline guy. You have what seems to be a reliable guy in Bayo. The depth is way different than it was years ago. And like, the other thing too is like, yeah, like, it's scary having two spots up for grabs with rookies. Worst comes to worst, though, like, you can hold your own to the deadline, and at that point, you'll still have ample ammo in the farm system and young guys and all this stuff to make a move if you need to. Yeah, in a perfect world, you trot out a five-man rotation on opening day and you run with it the entire season. It's just, it's not realistic to anybody. I'm not saying the Red Sox, to anybody. It makes you feel better, but I don't know. I'm okay. It's scary. It's unsettling to not have certainty, but I'm okay with it.
So
I don't
Sorry.
I think the Dodgers and the Mariners and maybe the Brewers too had the same rotation in the ALCS, NLCS, and World Series that they had to like start the season on paper. Like the Mariners had Bryce Miller come back, but he was always in the plans. I think the Dodgers guys, same guys that they had penciled in. And then the Brewers, I don't think the Brewers added anyone.
Priester.
Okay, yeah, true, yeah. Priester. All right, so they added one guy, but he was kind of...
Bastards!
Early on. And then the Blue Jays, actually, could you... I mean, I guess you could count the Blue Jays, too, because they had Yasavage and Bieber, but that's kind of...
Bieber was a trade addition. Yeah.
But basically three of the last four remaining teams basically had those rotations going into the season. My point is, it's hard to add impact starting pitching in the middle of the season, and I want the Red Sox to be in a spot where they don't need impact starting pitching, so you get that second guy to follow Crochet and it becomes much less of an issue. Still, it's kind of, I guess the thing that is getting me is making it through the season with all these guys.
Well, making it through the season is something I'm really, really confident in, because all of these guys have shown that they can start and win big league games. The real question is postseason. And if they have Crochet, they get the number two. Brian Baio is where people, I think, lose a little bit of confidence. And they saw the September and they saw how little confidence the Red Sox showed when he started game two against the Yankees. But people forget, I mean, the middle of this, like he had that weird start to the season where in his first, what, seven-ish starts, he wasn't allowing earned runs, but it didn't look good. In the middle 18 starts before September, 18 starts, he had a 2.69 ERA, right? This is a guy that it was three earned runs or less, practically every single start out there for 18 straight starts. I actually think it was, or no, there was a five in there, but it was three earned runs or less for 19 out of 20 starts in the middle of the season there. Like that's a guy who is a legitimate middle to potentially front of the rotation guy who, if they get the number two, he's your three. And then all you need is one of those dudes to step up as a four. Like if all you're looking for at the deadline is an upgrade to the number four, you're in a good spot. Where you're in a bad spot is if Crochet or the number two get hurt, or if Baio is the Baio of September, but that's a completely separate issue. You could get two frontline guys. And if those things happen, you're still screwed.
Sure. Yeah. Some things are out of anyone's control, but Gordo, I'm going to go back to something you said, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I actually agree with you. I do feel good about them making it through the season, but I felt the same way last year, and the depth they just did. Dwindled, and I would feel so much more confident with a Lucas Giolito type in the four spot or even the five spot. I would feel so much better. He doesn't even have to be, it could be a veteran who pitches for the first 2-3 months, gets hurt, misses a month, and then comes back and just helps you get to the finish line. I'd be cool with that too. And then that affects the playoffs. That affects how you feel going into the playoffs. So I don't think it's, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but I don't think it's regular season and then playoffs. It's all one thing. It's all one season. They coincide in my eyes. So yeah, again, I don't want to make it seem like I'm saying I don't believe in the Red Sox pitching. We'll see. We'll see how I feel once they have the rotation set. It's just without Giolito and the floor going down, I just have that lingering anxiety from years past. And it is different. They do have Crochet, but still, that same anxiety. Can't shake it.
Okay, let me ask you a question here then, Sammy. Because we've seen it for pretty much since 2019, ownership has put a budget in place. Some years it's higher than others. Last year it was higher than the year before. But they do have a ceiling, and they haven't shown to this point that they're willing to get into that Blue Jays-Phillies territory. Top five payrolls, we think they should be there, but they haven't shown a willingness to get there, even though last year they did a lot. They had a big offseason. They hit home runs. They took big swings, and they hit home runs on those big swings. But they have shown that they have a ceiling. So my question to you, Sammy, If they want to do all four of the things I'm about to suggest that they could use, they would blast through the ceiling that they've shown that they have, which obviously our first choice is for them to blast through that ceiling. But let's say that ceiling's in place. They've got a budget. You can pick three of the four. Alex Bregman, a middle of the order power bat, the number two starter that we're talking about as such a given, and the floor increasing, the Lucas Giolito, Chris Bassett type starter. Which is the one of those four things that you think is the least important?
Oh, obviously the floor increasing guy is the least important. The other things right. you mentioned are key. Like, you're done if you don't have exactly. those things. But we also talk all the time. We talk about XYZ, this GM, that GM, Craig Breslow has to get creative. Think right off the top of my head, you need a number two starter. You just signed Lucas Giolito for $22 million. Go get Freddy Peralta. He's only making $8 million in 2026. That's a legit number two, a fringe number one starter. You can do something like that. Then you sign Alex Bregman. We talked about the who says no. You trade Jaren Duran for a guy like Vinny Pasquantino, and you're not paying Bregman $40 million AAV anymore. You're not paying Rafael Devers anymore. There's a lot of ways it can be done, and I understand that the Red Sox operate with a budget. I don't like it, but I understand it. We can't just let them off the hook, though. And you're not doing that, but people are. There are so many people in the comments on social media like, this guy's too expensive. I'm like, there's always ways around this stuff.
But it's two different conversations. That's what I'm getting at. Like, Pat and I are not sitting here saying that they couldn't use that. Like, obviously, our first choice would be the Red Sox to blow through that ceiling. Because, Sammy, even if they go a Freddy Peralta route, like, yes, it's if you go Peralta and Pasquantino, financially, you can afford to do all four, but you'd be trading a lot of capital, because if you're trading Duran for Pasquantino, as you suggested on your Who Says No last podcast, now you have to get a Freddy Peralta without including an outfielder, which means you're digging into the farm. So you're giving up a lot of prospect capital to keep the payment, the luxury tax payment down a little bit. The reason I am not willing to go there on the starting pitchers, because I think they can go a little bit cheaper financially on the pitching by trading for it. But then if you want to increase your lineup, it's the ceiling of your lineup, you're going to have to pay both Alex Bregman and the big power bat. And whether it's the top of the top with Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber, or whether they take it a step down and it's Eugenio Suarez, regardless, those are high AAV deals.
Well, Gord, I don't know if I 100% agree with the first part of what you said, because if you get Pasquantino in the deal for Duran, the only prospects you're moving in a trade for a guy like Peralta on expiring deal, it's not going to be that crazy. You're going to be dipping into the farm, but anytime you're making a big trade, you're probably going to be doing that. So, I mean, if you're not willing to do that, then what are we even doing here?
Well, you'd be trading Duran in the Pasquantino deal. And if you,
who's
if
already
you align,
kind of an odd man out.
Right. But if you align the Freddy Peralta trade that we're talking about theoretically here, hypothetically here, as the similar package to Corbin Burns, I know like now it kind of seems like Corbin Burns went for very little, but at the time those were two kind of borderline top 100 prospects. Like, what is that, like a password and Brandon Clark? Like, you are digging pretty deep into your system for a rental.
I mean, that doesn't sound bad at all. I mean, Clark,
no, it doesn't.
I know you're not literally saying those two guys, but guys at that level, that's one lower end top 100 guy. And
maybe
then
I should
a guy
have said Arias.
All right, that's a lot. Now that's a ton. Now that's like a top 30 guy and then another top 100 guy. That's very different to me. I get what you're saying though, Gordo. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm my bar for this front office is a lot higher than in years past. One, because the team is better, and two, the 2027 lockout. That's for me, that's changing everything. I don't know if you guys are the same way, but every move that I think about involving the Red Sox, I'm always calculating the likely lockout in 2027.
Yeah, you have to.
I think their best way to go in terms of the trade, it has to be like a Peralta or a Hunter Green, just because those are two guys, and this is, you know, pending they're able to expend Peralta or whatever.
Joe Ryan too.
Or Joe Ryan. Mostly the other two. I mean, dude, Hunter Green's like the pie in the sky. Anyways, because if you can trade for a controlled starting pitcher or someone that you can control for relatively cheap money, it opens that avenue for Bregman and a power bat.
Exactly.
Or, you know what I mean? To me, it's like, yeah, you could trade for a Pasquantino, but then you're going to pay out the nose for Assis, whoever you end up leaning. My big thing is you have to go the cost-effective route with the number two. That should be a no-brainer because you have these two other massive holes that you need to fill, and it's incredibly hard to do that if you end up having to pay for the starting two pitcher with money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And the thing about paying the money for the bat is the kind of bats that are out there, the power bats that are on the market, can kind of be had. Can likely be had for shorter deals. Like if you're going to pay big money for a starting pitcher, like Dylan Cease is probably about to get at least 5 years, if not six. Like Kyle Schwarber, who is my absolute dream, he's maxing out at 5 years. Like 5 years is to me his best case scenario. Pete Alonso, his best case scenario might be a little longer, but I think Pete Alonso ends up falling in the 5-ish years range too. Like these Eugenio Suarez, I know Pat, you're not a big fan of his, but like that's a 30, 40, up to 50 home run guy that you can get for 2 or 3 years. Whereas all of these starting pitchers, if you want a frontline starter on the free agent market, you're starting with 5 years. And if you're not, then you're incurring risk, a la Mike King.
So for me, if you end up having to get your number two starter on the free agent market, you're pretty much automatically defaulting to Eugenio Suarez, which is not good. Like for me personally, I'm not a Geno fan at all. But that's like the level you drop yourself to get that second bat with re-signing Bregman to me.
But even then, he's a high AAV dude. Like you may not have to invest long term, but Eugenio Suarez is probably going to approach 20 million AAV. Like it's not less.
He might approach like high 20s, like nearing 30. He just hit 49 home runs. Suarez,
he's not getting there.
My want to pass.
He's you want to bet?
Dude, my
Sammy,
ass.
I'll bet you that he gets Suarez, below 20, 25. Board bet.
Board
here
bet.
We go.
Over 25. Bet. I'm taking. He just hit 49 fucking
dude,
home runs. He's going to get a 2-year deal.
He's
going to get a 2-year deal, two or three.
In the playoffs or with the Mariners or what? What did he hit 108?
It was exaggerating. He just can't hit.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. What was his? Damn. I'm
824. 824 OPS. And he plays.
Do you know how bad you have to be to have an 824 OPS but still hit 51 home runs?
No, okay, he just strikes out a lot.
He hit 189 with a 682 OPS with the Mariners. The home runs are there, and that's why I'm on board with him as a kind of a fallback option. But yeah, I don't think he's board
this
bet.
This is easy. Wait. Can we actually put something on this? This is like free money for me.
We're talking AAV though, right? We're not talking
AAV.
Total. 25?
No. AAV. I say over.
I say under 25.
Easy.
Pat's under. Joe,
I'm writing this down right now. We're gonna put this out there for people on social media.
I love a good board bet.
You know why?
So we got board bet. So here's the premise. Eugenio Suarez gets more than $25 million per year.
Yep. Yes. There it is.
So we have Sammy says more. Gordo says more.
I say less.
You say less, and Pat says less?
Yeah. Pat might take under. Pat, what? Like, Pat, what is his contract going to be?
You guys are fools.
Pat, what fools. Is. What is Pat, what is Eugenio Suarez's contract going to be?
2 years, 40.
Okay.
Oh, my God. He just hit 49 home runs. What are you talking about?
I'll give us a good 2v2, so I'll hop on Sammy's side and say that he makes more. But look, we gotta put a stake on it. Like,
$10.
Shrimp pizza.
No.
Round of drinks at the Yard House.
Okay. Shrimp pizza.
So can I explain my reasoning?
Yes. He hit 49 aside, homers. That's good reasoning.
Aside from him hitting 49 home runs, he's gonna get a short term deal. So the AAV is gonna be higher than most. Like if he were 30, I would be like, no, he's gonna get like $23 million a year. But he's gonna get like 2 years. So
what's
yeah,
I'm. What is it? Predict it.
Ooh, I think he'll get.
Pat had 2 years, 40.
I'll say 2 years, 52. So like just a touch over 25.
I'm going 3 years, 60.
Could see that if he gets a 3-year deal, I'm going to be in trouble. But if it's 2 years, I think I got this easy. Even with three, I think I got a shot. It would be like 25.5. Take it to
board
the
board bet. Love a good board
Love
bet.
It.
All right, let's get to some Nuff Said before we get out of here. Anyone anyone got Pat, you got to go first. Let's hear it.
One final question before Nuff Said. One answer, just a name. I don't want any elaboration. We're not talking about it on this episode. I just want a name. If you were a betting man, which is a crazy hypothetical to pose because we just made a bet, who are you picking as the number two?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed-sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed-sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the rotation going into opening day.
I'll go Joe Ryan. I don't know. I feel like our answer has changed.
Sammy.
Joe Ryan.
Freddie Peralta.
Ooh.
I'd be thrilled with both. They're both awesome.
I'm on board with either. There's so many good options. Like, seriously.
Hunter's my pie in the sky, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wanted, so he'd be my number one over Scooble.
So, friend of the program, Courtney Finnicum, spoke to Tito, the manager of the Cincinnati Reds, and she kind of mentioned that, and he was like, yeah, trading Hunter Green. Like, it didn't sound like the Reds have any, and that kind of came out of nowhere. That was just a beat reporter. So I think that we maybe ran with it a bit, but I would be shocked if the Reds, yeah. That would be disgraceful, you know, but also, like I said, last episode, it's also disgraceful that Milwaukee won 95 games and they're talking about shipping out their ace and being like, well, we do this every time. We're able to blah, blah, blah. You're able to lose in the playoffs every year. So yeah, these good teams trading their starting pitchers, it makes me sick. But if it benefits the Red Sox, go for it.
Yeah, if their main objective is to upgrade the major league lineup, yeah, I mean if you move Hunter Green, you're gonna get upgrade the major league lineup and the farm system. But if, dude, if you move Andrew Abbott, you can upgrade the lineup. Like, they got plenty of avenues. Hunter Green's not the...
I would do Duran for Abbott.
Yeah,
easy. Same. I don't even think the Reds would do that.
Yeah.
Heyman also on his stream said that he doesn't think Hunter Green's going anywhere. So we'll wait for... I mean, we're going to keep dreaming because...
Wait, so Heyman, when asked about Hunter Green being traded, he said, I don't believe it.
I can't even believe it. That was so funny. All right, enough said. Anyone want to go first? Sammy? I got it. I could go first.
Go ahead. Go ahead. All
right. I feel like I may have foreshadowed the Sox not giving Giolito the qualifying offer and thus him not being a Red Sox anymore. I, on accident, broke my Lucas Giolito bobblehead last night.
Way to go, Gordo.
It's a Seinfeld one. They gave it away at Fenway. And I was like, it was when I was messing with the webcam and I knocked it over and I caught it. But like, there's like a little piece of his fishing rod that broke off. And I just think it kind of broke like his Red Sox hopes and dreams. So RIP.
There he goes. There you go. Looks fine.
Into the distance.
There he goes. My who says no is, as you guys know, my girlfriend and I have an MLB The Show character.
Shut up. Called. Nope. Shut up. Shut up. You said your my who says no.
My enough said.
Yeehaw.
My enough said is, all right. So my girlfriend and I have a MLB The Show character. Her name is Groundball Greta. And I'm happy to announce she finally got called up to the Seattle Mariners. She's the new starting shortstop. So round of applause for Groundball Greta. She's hitting like 900. We finally got the hang of the game. I think we need to turn up the difficulty, to be totally honest. But finally.
So funny thing is, Sammy, on that note, I have a Road to the Show character who I created months ago. I play very sparingly whenever I have time. And I got drafted by the White Sox. And then, like, in the game, it's like the agent calls, like, are you happy there? Do you want to get moved? I was like, trade me. This sucks, man. I got traded to the Athletics.
I was just going to say, would you get traded to the A's or something? Literally,
yeah,
you did.
Yeah. My enough said is, I don't think we've recorded since this happened, but it's just, it was yesterday, so no. The Braves stealing the Mets' first base coach and pitching coach is phenomenal. Because I have friends who are Mets fans, and they were like quite literally the only good parts of our entire team this year were the pitching developments, and then on top of that, the base running. So the two guys who are responsible for the best facets of the Mets game are playing for their rival, or coaching for their rival.
Wow. I'm just like trying to, because from the Mets perspective, They hate the Braves. They hate the Braves. They hate the Braves fans. Like, it may not be quite as bad blood as Sox Yankees, but that would kind of be like losing like Andrew Bailey to the Yankees or something.
I mean, at least they're not losing their entire coaching and scouting and development staff like the Red Sox.
That's true.
Apparently, everyone's gone.
Who has it worse than us?
Cora and Bailey. And Fatsy. They're the only ones left. Everyone else is gone. Goodbye.
Also, real quick, because it's kind of along the same lines of not player news but baseball news, the Rockies hiring Paul De Podesta is the funniest shit. I know he has a background in baseball, but like, dude, you have been ass for 20 years and you're bringing in who was a football guy. Also, Paul De Podesta has to be one sick individual to go from the Browns to the Rockies.
Oh yeah, and he was the Jonah Hill dude in Moneyball. So he was the A's, the Browns, the Rockies. Like, yeah, you're right, Pat. He is a sick individual.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's getting paid handsomely though. So maybe not that sick. In defense of the Rockies, though, their altitude problem, they have such a unique situation. I don't even mind them trying something out of the box, even a little bit crazy. We've seen some weird hires around the league, like the Giants, Patty. I know you like this Vietti, the college coach from Tennessee. The Padres just hired Stammen. Craig Stammen, like a reliever who was a front office. Vitello is the name I was trying to come up with. So yeah, front office, manager, there's been some unique additions around Major League Baseball this year. So this is just another one.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it. Appreciate you guys tuning in to episode 280 of Play Tessie. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up on all our videos. Subscribe. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe Braverman producing, it is Gordo here for Play Tessie. Thanks for tuning into this one. We'll be back. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight? Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.